Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day. It is all thanks to Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. And, of course, thanks to our wonderful friends at Golf Australia. It's a great sport to get the kids involved in. Sign your kids up for golf at mygolf.org.au. It's only hours away from teeing off. This is going to be an Augusta Masters with a difference in November. I still can scarcely believe we're saying that, but that's 2020 in a nutshell, isn't it? Over there on the ground, covering all of the action for PGA.com, one of the leading golf journos in the world. And he's also an Aussie as well. Ben Everill has been good enough to join us here on Sports Day. Ben, you're there in the thick of the action, although, dare I say it, in 2020, the action probably looks a little different than it has in previous years. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. Yeah, absolutely, it's different. It's a bizarre Augusta National, that's for sure. No patrons, no people around, no ropes. Just way open spaces and a couple of really decent golfers, the best in the world, going at it for a green jacket. And I'm really lucky, actually, to be here amongst us because, you know, I'm standing right next to Tiger Woods, Adam Scott and the boys and watch them all go for it.
Now, we spoke with Mark Hayes at Golf Australia a little earlier in the week, Ben, about the build-up to this tournament. And, of course, it's going to be different. But also the atmosphere from there, on the ground, in the surrounds, the districts and towns around that beautiful and famed and iconic golf course. You're there. What does it feel like? Because, of course, we know in the background we've just had all of the controversy of the presidential election, and that continues to rage on. Coronavirus is still such a, well, it's a disaster over there at the moment. So in the surrounds, I mean, can you paint a picture for us? Because, as you said, this would generally be a place that is buzzing around this tournament in April.
Yeah, look, you normally can't, you know, get anywhere around the course. You can't get into it, get a feed. You're trying to get a drink at a bar. You're 20 deep. The place is usually just awash with people, but right now, not the case. And, you know, we've still got partial shutdowns in restaurants and mask ordinances in certain counties and all the rest. So I actually went and talked to the owner of the iconic steakhouse that I usually visit most nights when I'm here in April, T-Bones, and he put it straight. He said, it's like the tournament doesn't exist. Mm. Even though it's on, the town does not look like it's on at all.
Well, there is a tournament, and we're going to drill down into some of the main hopes that might be contending Monday morning our time, of course, Sunday over in your part of the world at the moment, Ben. But all important weather forecast, because we've heard some pretty, I guess, worrisome headlines in the build-up to the tournament. We know that last year's event, particularly the Sunday, there were concerns about whether that would even eventuate, and thankfully it did, and we all remember what unfolded there. But what's it looking like over the next couple of days from what your understanding is from the Bureau over there? Are there any concerns that this is going to be a heavily interrupted tournament?
Look, day one is the biggest issue we've got. We've got 100% chance of thunderstorm and rain at the moment as it stands, and it's going to be overnight right through. So that is a big issue. We may have some time in day one off the course if we're unlucky. But luckily, the rest of the week is actually looking like it's going to clear up. Originally, that wasn't the case. But if we can get through that first day, we might be all right. And we do have less daylight at this time of year as well, plus college football and NFL to worry about on the weekend. Things will start early on the weekend because of those things here in the US.
It's amazing the juggling act for organisers, but full credit to them for just getting this tournament to the starting line. You mentioned the shorter days, and as a result, and this is going to be a unique part of this 2020 edition of the tournament as well, Ben, the split tees. Obviously, we'll have players groups starting from the first as per tradition, but also a little different. It does happen in some tournaments around the world, but we'll have others starting from the 10th. I think Mark Leishman falls into that category in a few hours' time. And, well, you talk about stretches of holes that can really test the best golfers in the world. I'd suggest 10 through 14 doesn't get much trickier. So early part of a tournament, you're always nervous. And then you rock up to the 10th and you've got those in front of you. It's going to be tough.
100%. If it is a bit cold in the morning too, you can imagine trying to crack it down the 10th there and then hit 11. 11's a really tough hole. Before you hit Amen Corner then. And if you get a little bit of morning wind around the 12th, good luck guessing your club and your line there. So they'll have to take that with a grain of salt and do their best knowing that everybody's sort of going to face it at some point during the tournament. But, definitely different.
So Ben, what will we notice as we sit back in the couch, you know, in the wee hours of the morning and are watching this all unfold from a visual point of view? Naturally, yeah, the lack of galleries, the non-existent galleries, of course, with COVID protocols. But from a visual, we know that Augusta in April, it looks like a painting wherever you turn, whatever hole you're on. But what will be the most striking difference, do you think?
Well, you won't see the pinks and the purples and the colours, but you will see sort of orange fall, as they call it, the autumn colours and the leaves. Yep. And whatnot. It's a different look. It's quite fascinating, really. And you'll get a lot more wide shots and sort of drone shots if the weather comes good, because without those galleries, they're able to sort of put the cameras up in the air and give you that wide view and see just how amazing this property itself is. We might even get to see a bit more of the elevation change that you can't usually see on television and get a feel for that.
It's going to be great to watch regardless. We mentioned Mark Leishman. We know he's a super consistent performer on the tour and is always seemingly in and around the mix when it comes to the majors. And from another Aussie angle, of course, we know Adam Scott has been there and done that, has overcome his COVID issues of late. Jason Day's played some okay golf in the back half of the year. And we've got plenty of others that are around the mark. But if you had to stick your neck out, Ben, pre-tournament and suggest maybe one Aussie that we should be perhaps pinning our hopes on more than some of the others, who's in your sights in that regard?
I'd have to go with Jason Day. He had three really good rounds at the Houston Open last week. He did fade in the final round, but that was just due to a bit of a wonky driver. His putting was back to some of its best over the first 3 days. If you can bring that here, he's always a hope, because there's more room to miss off the tee at Augusta than most places. And as long as you can get those second shots close and make a few putts, you're a real chance. And Jason's had three top fives here before. I think he is a shot. So if you can get a half-decent look at him, we might get lucky there.
And if we take the green and gold blinkers off, if you will, Ben, looking across the field, again, star-studded, and there are so many players, major winners in the mix that will certainly be, you'd think, putting their hands up down the stretch on Sunday afternoon. Who's playing the best golf at the moment? And obviously, you look at someone like a Bryson DeChambeau. Obviously, he's got the major under the belt now. Dustin Johnson, we know, is always around the mark. But, is there maybe another name we should be looking out for, or two or three?
Yeah, look, those big hitters are the ones to watch, especially with a wet golf course. Bryson could tear this place apart if he's on his best form. DJ, you mentioned, but I like others like John Rahm, who almost won in Los Angeles a few weeks ago. You could look at Brooks Koepka, the same. Him and DJ were very close in Houston last week of getting that job done. So anyone with the ability to bash it out there in the air and then make a few putts is going to be very tough to beat in these conditions. Err to the side of length, I would say.
Golf journalist from PGA.com, Ben Everill. Any chance John Rahm will approach the 16th the way he's done, obviously, in the last couple of days with that viral video that went around, that amazing skimming shot that you have to see it to believe it? That was something pretty special, Ben.
Yeah, to be able to, on demand, step up, put and hit a ball from in front of a pond, skip it six times over, catch it three ridges, turn it around and make a hole in one is just utter ridiculous, isn't it? And the funny thing was, the day before, he made a legitimate hole in one on the fourth hole as well, one of the hardest holes on the course, the longest par three. So he's clearly got some form on the board, and he's just had a birthday too, so he's feeling in good spirits and is one to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, before I let you go, Ben, and obviously a good night's sleep for you ahead of the action getting underway. Like I said, just a few hours away our time. It wouldn't be a Masters conversation without me mentioning Tiger Woods. Of course, as I mentioned, 18 months ago, it feels a lifetime ago. And for many people, it probably has been since that iconic moment, the return to glory in the 2019 Masters. He's one who is no stranger to rewriting the history books and being a historic Masters in 2020. Who's to put it past Tiger doing something pretty special over the next 4 days?
Yeah, look, guys who have contended late in age that have won the Masters before for many a year. I think Jack Nicklaus was even contending at 56, and he won at 46. Now Tiger's 44, could do it again if he gets the right conditions. The hardest thing for him is going to be, actually, I think, not just the fact that it's going to play long, but the fact there are no fans. He feeds off that energy, he feeds off those roars. Without that, it'll be harder for Tiger to sort of chase down those that'll start hot. He just rides the wave usually, and they certainly bring it for him. Without that, and myself and some colleagues can get down there and start yelling for him, he might find it a bit tough.
Well, it's going to be fascinating viewing, whatever the case. And if you're a parent out there and you wish that your folks had got you into golf a little bit earlier, you can do it for your kids by signing them up to mygolf.org.au. And who knows, one day they might be playing at the beautiful Augusta National, hopefully back in April once we steady the ship and get life back on track. Ben, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it pre-tournament. I know you'll be covering it from all angles for PGA.com. So all the best over the next 4 days. Try and stay dry tomorrow, if that's possible. But let's hope it's one for the ages, a real classic. Unique it will be, but there'll be some great golf played, I've got no doubt.
Yes, thanks for having me, mate. It should be a great 4 days, and hopefully an Aussie can come out on top.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice. Ben Everill there from PGA.com joining us. More Sports Day still to come for Wilson Homes.